And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Michael Toscano. Hurricane, now Tropical Depression Helene, left behind almost 4 million electricity customers without power late Friday night in Florida, Georgia, North Carolina, South Carolina, Tennessee, and Virginia, according to utility tracker Find Energy. CBS's Dave Malkoff.
In Asheville, North Carolina, officials are telling residents to shelter in place as life-threatening floods damaged homes, toppled trees, and knocked out power to more than 800,000 people. The intense flooding has swept away cars and huge dumpsters. Even propane tanks were seen floating in the water.
The Saturday launch of SpaceX's Dragon spacecraft to the ISS from Cape Canaveral remains on track. NASA's Ken Bowersox.
Hurricane Helene, the effect here was pretty small, just a little bit of a delay in our operations. We know there's folks up in the panhandle that had a much larger impact from the storm, and we'll be thinking about them as we execute the Crew 9 mission.
The capsule will return home in February with two astronauts stranded on the ISS for months now. Israel has launched multiple military offenses against Hezbollah in Lebanon, where we find CBS News correspondent Imtiaz Tayeb.
This is the moment Israeli fighter jets bomb Beirut. Deafening explosions as huge plumes of smoke engulf the skies above. Israel's military immediately claimed responsibility, saying it had targeted Hezbollah's leader Hassan Nasrallah, amid unconfirmed reports the group's figurehead and leader may have been at the site. A potentially catastrophic blow to the U.S.-designated terrorist organization, which has already seen a number of its military commanders targeted in Israeli assassinations over the past week.
Vice President Harris visited the southern border at Douglas, Arizona, vowing to revive the bipartisan immigration deal worked out in the Senate.
But Donald Trump tanked it. He picked up the phone and called some friends in Congress and said, stop the bill. Because, you see, he prefers to run on a problem instead of fixing a problem.
New York City's Democratic Mayor Eric Adams pleaded not guilty to federal bribery charges.
Prosecutors allege Adams used his influence to pressure the FDNY to open a new high-rise housing Turkey's consulate in Manhattan, despite safety concerns.
The next week we'll be filing a motion to dismiss. We expect these charges to be dismissed.
Adams was released under conditions that he not contact any witnesses or individuals named in the indictment, with prosecutors saying they will reach an accommodation for him to talk to family and staff, but not about the allegations.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Join us live every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 5 to 6 p.m. for Playmakers, brought to you by Quality Plus Printing. Call in with your sports thoughts and feelings only on WFHR.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. People all over Wisconsin are talking about absentee ballot drop boxes after the mayor of Wausau decided to move one to make a political point. Mike Moan reports.
Voting access advocates secured a victory over the summer when the Wisconsin Supreme Court reversed a near-total ban on drop boxes for absentee ballots. But this past weekend, the mayor of Wausau, a vocal opponent of the option, held a publicized event where he removed one. Sam Liebert, with All Voting is Local, feels it's an extension of those who continue to push false claims about the outcome of the 2020 presidential election.
This is just another part of a larger puzzle of continued voter suppression and trying to have fewer people vote in the upcoming November election.
The mayor defended his actions, insisting he did nothing wrong. Opponents of drop boxes claim they can be tampered with, and prohibiting them can help ensure election integrity. But election policy analysts say they are a proven safe option. All Voting is Local and other advocates called on state authorities to look into the matter. The local district attorney is pursuing an investigation. Even though the state's highest court made this voting tool legal again, local administrators still have the option to decide whether or not to place them around their communities. Liebert says those in leadership positions and the public should know how beneficial drop boxes are in giving everyone a chance to vote.
They help so many types of voters, whether they're voters with disabilities, they're third shift workers, they're single parents. All types of people benefit from having ballot drop boxes.
Earlier this month, a similar controversy arose over guidance from the Dodge County Sheriff's Office to local election clerks. This is Mike Moen for Wisconsin News Connection. Support for this reporting was provided by the Carnegie Corporation of New York.
This is Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear tonight, low in the mid-50s. Mostly sunny and mild for tomorrow, highs in the low 80s. And near 80 for highs Sunday and Monday with sunshine. Then much cooler. Highs fall back to the low 60s on Tuesday and upper 60s for Wednesday. Currently 57 degrees.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, Dan Davies and Craig Kennett talk about their giant spider invasion event. And
the lovable producer Connor will give a full report after watching in person the green and gold take on the purple people eaters.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Up North News Radio.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Matinair on Air. My name is Greg Bach. I am filling in for Jane Matinair, who's taking the day off and will be returning Monday. We're so happy to have you with us today on the Civic Media Radio Network. You can always join us in the conversation. You can call or text. It is the same number. You can do that by calling 855-752-4842. That number again is 855-75-CIVIC. Be part of the conversation. Or if you're watching us on the live stream, you can do that by joining us on Facebook or YouTube or on our Twitter account. Because, Calvin, what do I always say?
Twitter is best when it's called Twitter.
Close. We're going to give you a participation award on that one. That voice right there was Calvin Butenhoff on the boards, Dr. Slide, a.k.a. Sweet Calby, Cal Vienti, when he gets spicy. And we got a very packed show for you today. 10:33, we have Dorothy Harms, who is the founder and board president of the Farmers Angel Network, which is a group that concerns themselves mainly with the mental health and suicide prevention of those in the rural and farming community in Sauk County. Just a warning, folks, we will be talking about those topics coming up soon. So just in case, I'm giving you a warning right now. That was coming up at 10:33. Then at 11 o'clock, we have Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area slash the political editor of Civic Media here to talk more about the statewide races here in Wisconsin, because he put together an amazing, basically a voter guide for everyone to look at every single race that's happening here in Wisconsin, whether it's Assembly or State Senate. You can go ahead and go to Civic Media's website to check that out. He will be here at 11:06 a.m. And also at 11 o'clock, we are going to have this show's final editions. Today is the last day of the Go for the Greener Gold Text to Win contest, where you, by downloading the free Civic Media app, can participate. So what's going to happen is at 11 o'clock, I'm going to give you a keyword. And when you hear that keyword, you are going to open up that free Civic Media app. You are going to text us through the app and give us that keyword, and you will be entered into a contest to win either some jewelry or some cash. I believe it's cash today, if I'm not mistaken. But all of those entries are going to be taken in, and the grand prize winner will be given two club-level seats to see the Green and Gold take on New Orleans on December the 23rd, which I just feel like is an amazing Christmas present, Calvin. What would you do if someone's like, Merry Christmas, here's some tickets to go see the Green and Gold?
You know, I've never seen the game in Green Bay. I think it would be fantastic.
I mean, unfortunately, we work for Civic Media, so we can't go unless one of our friends wins. That just seems like a lot. Never mind. We will, Calvin, I'll tell you what. We'll get some tickets. We'll charge it to the company account because it's research and development, and we'll go see a game there. But, yes, that's at 11 o'clock today, and then you'll have another chance at 1 and another chance at 4 p.m. as well. That is the Go for the Greener Gold Text to Win contest. Stay close. Listen to that for the keyword, and then text that in through the Civic Media app. And then finally, to round it off, we have another edition, Friday edition of This Shouldn't Be a Thing. We're calling this one Giant Baby Edition. Do you have any idea, Calvin, what that could mean for the audience? Giant Baby Edition.
I spoiled myself and looked ahead.
Okay, well then.
But I'll play dumb and say Oh, I have no idea. This could be anything.
See, he's not just a great producer. He's also a fantastic actor. And then also, speaking of actor, we did lose an acting legend this morning. We got news of the passing of Dame Maggie Smith. We're going to talk more about her in the 11 o'clock hour. But what I want you folks who are listening and watching right now to start thinking about, because we want to hear from you, because basically this, when we lose great actors, when we lose great people, and she was a great human being, we like to talk about how wonderful they are after they have passed. Well, I want to start talking about maybe some great celebrities, maybe some great people in our lives who need the flowers before they're gone. So at 11:33, we'll be talking more about that. So get those things in your mind. You can call or text that in when we get to that point. But yeah, think about those in our lives that we just absolutely love and adore, who deserve all the flowers now and get to see that great admiration before they leave us. So big show, packed show, Calvin. We're going to start it off with some news coming out of Madison where, I don't know if you heard about this, but 2,200 duplicate absentee ballots in Madison were mailed out by accident. This was all done by accident because humans means human error, right? Okay. So as we've talked about before, and the reason why I wanted to bring this up is because we talk about voting and voting early very, very much. And we're going to keep talking about it probably, well, after the election too, because then we're going to go right into a spring election. There'll be another election and it never ends here. But what I wanted to do when talking about this was the fact that when errors like this happen, there are safeguards in place. But that didn't stop Tom Tiffany, congressman of Wisconsin, from taking to the Twitter sphere to talk about how this is voter fraud, how apparently there were no barcodes on the ballots themselves. And that became the point of fury for him, that there were no barcodes. This is fraud. Madison's engaging in fraud because it's Madison. So they're all liberals and Democrats and socialists and Marxists and all these things. But Calvin, do you know what the problem was with that, like, you know, fury that he started?
I'm going to go out on a limb and guess that it wasn't true.
Well, he's right. There were not barcodes on the ballots because ballots in Wisconsin do not contain barcodes. The envelopes that the absentee ballots are returned in do contain barcodes, so the voter can track their ballot to ensure it's been received. The barcodes allow election officials to ensure that the same voter does not cast a ballot in person on election day. This is what they call a safeguard. This is pretty common knowledge. And this could have been a question answered had someone in his staff said, I'm going to call Madison just to make sure. But they didn't do that, Calvin, because they never do that, right?
Well, that would require critical thinking and doing work.
And as we all know, Tom Tiffany, not a big fan of either. He tweeted out on his Twitter account, you know, when I don't like them, I'm going to call it X. When I do like them, I'm going to call it Twitter. My office has proof that there is no barcode on the actual ballots. No barcode. And he shows a picture of the ballot. And guess what? The clerk in Madison just simply said, yes, that's true, because the ballots are on the envelope. And they made sure the city of Madison, the clerk's office, made sure that the city was informed about the error, and that basically, if you tried to mail in your duplicate ballot, it would be flagged before it was ever counted. So once again, we have these safeguards in place. And here's the thing that really, I'm going to keep saying this too, steams my grits. I'm going to make that into a t-shirt, Calvin. It steams my grits. His colleague, Milwaukee Congressperson Gwen Moore, came out and said, why are you doing this? Do you know why she did that, Calvin?
Because she actually did the research and knew what was going on.
Well, this whole thing is to try to make it seem like in-person or absentee ballots or drop boxes or anything that's not day of, drop the paper in the box and take your sticker and go home, is fraud, election stealing, all the things. The problem is that Gwen Moore brought up the fact that Congressman Tiffany has just voted in August by mail. In fact, he's voted 4 out of 5 times by mail. And it's the problem I have is that the Republicans, the GOP, Donald Trump, standing on stage literally saying, you gotta vote early, and then saying voting by mail is theft. There's no constant message here. And the problem I have is that this confuses the voter. I don't really care what you think about mail-in voting. It's safe. It's secure. It has been for a long time. Politicians do it. Celebrities do it. You and I do it. People overseas do it. And the point is that we need to instill confidence to the voter that what they're doing is safe, legal, and good. And by doing something like what Tom Tiffany did, which is stoking a fire which should never have been stoked in the first place, that gathers more attention than the Madison clerk's office, who puts out a statement that says simply, there was a mistake. We've rectified the mistake. It's safe. It's secure. You're safe to vote. No problem. Because not a lot of people are going to the clerk's office website in Madison, but they do go to Tom Tiffany's social media, which, of course, gets way more attention. It's got 1.6 million views on that post where he's accusing Madison of nefarious shenanigans. And of course, when I saw it on Facebook last night, what do you want to guess, Calvin? Do you think that the comments were telling Tom Tiffany that, oh, no, you're wrong. It's been fixed. It's fine. You're good. What do you think the comments look like?
I can only imagine that they sounded a bit like the conversation Earl had this morning with Ken Blackwell from Ohio, that they were very, they were like, see, evidence, they're cheating.
The theft has begun. Or it just becomes more and more apocalyptic as you go further and further down the comments. And I just want people to know, and this is for all people, whether you're voting for Donald Trump, whether you're voting for Kamala Harris, whether you're voting for a third party, your vote, if done early, absentee, drop box, not on the day, is safe and secure. That is always the point, that your vote is safe and secure. And if there's a problem, you'll be contacted. And in this situation with Madison, they nipped it in the bud immediately. And when you have people out there who have a lot of views on a big platform, a huge soapbox to stand upon, they muddy the process up and only make it harder for people who just want to vote. Calvin, you said you're going to vote on the day, right?
I always have.
Okay. All right. So you're doing good. I'm still waiting for my absentee ballot to come in the mail, but we just want to reiterate the point that if you are going to do this, if you were going to vote, we hope you vote, that you always have a plan, that you always are able to make sure you know exactly what's going on. You can do that by going to myvote.wi.gov. You can go there. You can find out what's on your ballot. You can no longer request an absentee ballot, I believe. You'll be able to start voting early soon in Wisconsin, but you can find out what's going on in your community, who represents you, those phone numbers, and what you can see coming up in November on the ballot. We got to take a really quick break. We're going to get some snacks and stay hydrated. But when we come back, Derek Van Orten's next on my list. He's another favorite of mine. He's decided that to do nothing is to do everything. So don't go anywhere. We're going to keep talking about the congressmen of Wisconsin. Stay close. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids' home of Nightlight with Peach Schwabba.
Most people out here think that taking care of one another is important. And most people would step up for a neighbor going through a tough time. Most people around here help out friends and family when they need it. But the funny thing is, most of us won't look for help when we need it. Talk to someone if you're struggling with mental health, because most people out here really care. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
The Todd Alba Show.
They're eating the pets.
J.D. Vance has said on the air that he admitted it was all a lie. Pat Kreitlow, words have consequences.
Of course they do. When we're talking about the incendiary remarks about immigrants, we're not talking about the fact that it was Donald Trump and Donald Trump alone who killed the bipartisan border security and immigration reform bill.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. My name is Greg Boss, sitting in for Jane Mattenair, who will be back on Monday. I got Sweet Cal B on the boards here, and you are always welcome to be part of the show. Do that by calling in or texting. It's the same phone number. It's 855-752-4842-855-75-CIVIC. Take your calls. Take your texts. You can comment on the live stream. We are currently live streaming on YouTube as well as Twitter. I guess Facebook is being a problem. But, you know, you can always find us there. You can always drop a comment in the live stream, and we always love to hear from you. We got a few texts regarding our discussion on Tom Tiffany, who decided instead of to do his own research, which, by the way, the GOP loves to tell us to do our own research. He didn't do his and decided to call out Madison in a human error, a problem that was rectified, taken care of, duplicate ballots sent out. They will be – the safeguards are up. They will not be counted twice. The steal is not happening. You're fine. Take a breath. Sit down. Calvin?
Yeah, just a broader point about do your own research. Anyone who says do your own research,
yeah,
and then say, just ask them, well, show me your research. And if they have research, it will consist of articles from Newsmax, OAN, and if you're lucky, Fox News. And that's not evidence.
No.
That's reporting, first of all. And second of all, Newsmax and OAN are very poor reporting.
Oh, they're not. I'm more of a journalist than they are, and I'm not journalist whatsoever. And the fact is like when you listen to this show, this is information. We are giving you the information we want to talk to you about, but we use real journalism. The story I was referring to was written by Scott Bauer of the AP Associated Press. That story is linked in the show notes for today. We make sure that you know what we're talking about and you can do your research so you can find out what's going on. You don't have to believe me, but I ask that you read Scott's article and inform yourself. So yeah, if I said do your own research in any other tone than sarcastic, I'd have to start worrying about myself, Calvin.
Yeah, because, I mean, first of all, it's condescending.
Yes, so absolutely.
It's not a good way to talk to people.
Yeah.
And second of all, it's assuming that they haven't done their own research. I have done my own research, and I feel that my opinion is very well grounded in facts.
Yeah. We were talking also before about myvote.wi.gov. It's an important place to also see if you are registered to vote. If you are not registered to vote, you got to get yourself registered. You can do it. Sign up. You can register on the website. You can register the day of. We will warn you that it's a big election this year. Lots going on the ballot. It's a presidential election. A lot of people are coming out. So if you were not registered that day and you have to do it on the day at the ballot box, it's going to be a bit of a wait. So just prepare yourself. But you can register ahead of time. So you make sure you're taken care of. Just make sure you take your ID with you. I don't really like that fact, but that's for another conversation. And it's not always because of nefarious actions either. If you have moved a bunch of times and you haven't re-registered or haven't voted in a while, you will be taken off the voter rolls. That is a common practice. So make sure you are registered. Make sure you are good to go when you're ready to vote. Now, Derek Van Orten. Oh, man. He is the pot with which my grits are steamed, Calvin. So the government has passed a continuing resolution to fund the government through most of December. Continuing resolution, for you, those who do not know, when they're not able to pass a budget, they do this to avoid or to pass. So there's not a government shutdown. To avoid government shutdowns, they will pass a continuing resolution to keep the government funded, because if we don't fund the government, lots of things shut down. Services to people who need them. And Derek Van Orten decided that it was a good idea to vote no on the continuing resolution. Now, I'm not always in favor. I think it's kicking the can down the road. I think it's not working together, but you have to keep it funded or things shut down and people like you and I suffer, whether it's Social Security, whether it's national parks, whether it's goods and services you get through the government, it shuts down and you can't access them. But Derek Van Orten, no, he thinks the right thing to do is to shut it down. And that's what exactly he voted to shut it down. He said, "I voted against the CR, the continuing resolution, to save American agriculture." Make that make sense, for one thing. Instead of cherry-picking Democrat programs from the committee's farm bill, which they have yet to pass after a year, to extend in the CR and playing politics with hungry children and production agriculture, we should be providing our farmers with the resources and certainties they need to do their jobs. We cannot keep kicking the can down the road. We both say that, by the way, on a bill that our farmers need authorized a year ago. I'm unwilling to risk everything they have and continue to work for. Calvin, you know how I feel about this man, especially when it comes to the topic of farming. He puts himself up as the saint of the farming community. He's on the agriculture committee, and he does nearly nothing for them. And now he is using them as a pawn to say, let's shut it down. And I do not appreciate that. And by the way, Ron Johnson and Tom Tiffany voted against the continuing resolution. This is just not good for the people. What do you think, Calvin?
Well, just a broader point on continuing resolutions and keeping the government open. I agree. I don't like continuing resolutions. I wish they would come together and come up with a solution to fund the government long term. That being said,
yeah,
you can only vote in complaint that way if you either have a solution yourself on how to do that, or mm-hmm. one has been presented that's being ignored, and neither of those things are happening. This is just Derek Van Orten stamping his foot and saying, I don't get my way.
Yeah.
And that's it.
I completely agree with you, and that's something he's very good at. If you want any evidence of that, look at his Twitter account. It is nothing but complaining, whining, aggression, and a guy who really doesn't care about Wisconsin as much as I think he thinks we think he does. I don't even know if that made sense. But my point is, if he really cared about the farmers, if he really cared about the people, he'd work together with his colleagues. He may not like them or like what they stand for, but it's about the people, especially the farmers. Speaking of the farmers, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to have the board president and founder of Farmers Angel Network, that is Dorothy Harms. She will be joining us to talk about mental health in the farming community. You can always be part of the conversation by dropping a text or call. You can also view us on the live stream. Don't go anywhere. Taking a short break. Stay hydrated. You are amazing. You are listening to Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
And my heart can't take it if you leave me now. I'm not gonna make it. I'm not.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
CBS News Brief. It will take a while for the full extent of the widespread damage from Hurricane Helene in Florida and the southeast to be fully gauged. Georgia Governor Brian Kemp.
We've had a severe agriculture impact that is still being assessed.
At least 45 storm-related deaths have been reported. Launch of SpaceX's Dragon spacecraft to the International Space Station is on track for 1:17 p.m. Eastern Time at Cape Canaveral with two astronauts on board. NASA's Steve Stitch.
We had to go back to the hangar for the hurricane and got out there a little bit late. We are vertical at the pad.
With the attacks from Hezbollah and Israel against each other ratcheting up, Secretary of State Antony Blinken is pushing for a ceasefire.
The path to diplomacy may seem difficult to see at this moment, but it is there, and in our judgment, it is necessary. And we will continue to work intensely with all parties to urge them to choose that course.
CBS News Brief. I'm Michael Toscano.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed.
keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
The Packers hit the road tomorrow. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cusco with Sports, filling in for Mike Clemens. Green Bay is at Tennessee this week. In the preseason, the Packers traded with the Titans to bring in Malik Willis, who started last week's win over Indianapolis. Willis said that Tennessee knows what he can do.
I think I got paid the whole time I was there, but I'm more than blessed for the opportunity they've given me, and they brought me into this league, you know, whether those guys are there or not.
Head coach Matt LaFleur said he knows there's a tough task ahead for the offense, regardless of who is at quarterback.
I think they got a lot of veteran players, and they're a well-built defense. I think schematically, it's a challenge. Denard Wilson coming from Baltimore, and just he's an experienced guy in this league. And then when you couple that with really good players, you have a chance to be a really good defense.
Jordan Love is listed as questionable for tomorrow's game, which kicks off at noon. The Milwaukee Brewers lost Friday 7-4 to the Arizona Diamondbacks. The loss puts the Brewers four games back of the National League's best record. The same two teams play tonight in Milwaukee. Filling in for Mike Clemens, I'm Jimmy Cusco with Civic Media Sports.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear tonight, low in the mid-50s. Mostly sunny and mild for tomorrow, highs in the low 80s. And near 80 for highs Sunday and Monday with sunshine. Then much cooler. Highs fall back to the low 60s on Tuesday and upper 60s for Wednesday. Currently 57 degrees.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. According to a recent survey, nearly half of all Americans think you can be too old to start saving for retirement. Now listen, my 47-year-old self does not like the idea that I could ever be too old for anything. And I know for sure that the only way anyone can age out of saving for retirement is to actually retire. I mean, yes, of course, you're going to have a bigger nest egg if you start saving young, but older savers have an advantage over the younger ones. People in their 40s and 50s typically make double what their 20-something colleagues make. And the math is clear. You are younger today than you will be at any point in your future. More than half of us are behind in our retirement savings, so don't wait another minute to start. I've got a video that can help you out. Check out Work Money Media on YouTube. This is Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
Midday Magazine, talk radio that speaks with you, not at you. Join the conversation 4 to 5 Monday through Friday as we discuss local issues, events, and more. We'll be here interviewing some of your favorite local people. And find the podcast at civicmedia.us. Midday Magazine, a dialogue like no other, only on WFHR, locally grown radio.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
The Second Amendment is designed to keep the power in this country with the people.
It's not the Second Amendment that preserves power in the people. It's elections, you moron. A dictator like Donald Trump that is a king and immune from prosecution, that is what erodes democracy. Kamala Harris and Uncle Tim Walz, they own guns. Nobody's coming for them. Chillax, Glenn. Get yourself some facts.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Todd Albaugh.
Hey everybody, join us next time as we'll be back from California and be catching up on the news as well as Wisconsin events. Join us then.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays noon till 2.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matinair on Air. My name is Greg Bach. I am sitting in for Jane Matinair, who will be here back on Monday. As always, we welcome you to join us by calling or texting. Same number is 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. As always, we have the board lord, Dr. Sly Calbi, on the boards with us today. And I want to talk to you about our guest today. She's joining us. Her name is Dorothy Harms. She is the board president and founder of Farmer Angel Network. Welcome to the show, Dorothy. How are you today?
I am good. Glad to be with you today, Greg.
Excellent, excellent. Now, I was looking at your website, and it's beautiful work that what you're doing right now. Can you give us a little understanding of what the Farmer Angel Network does and how you started.
Sure. So Farmer Angel Network is in existence now for 5 years. And unfortunately, kind of came out by call to action when a good friend of mine, a farmer, lost his life to suicide. My friend Leon Stotts had suffered with depression for a number of years. And at the time when he sold his dairy herd, it was just really too much for him to kind of bear that whole change in lifestyle and his loss of identity. After he had died, the community really rallied around their family and opened up a church for forums that kind of bring people together for support. And we were astonished when we had 40 to 60 people from across the state turn out, because they too wanted to be able to talk about farm mental health.
You know, and that's, you know, of course, we know about mental health, we know about suicide and suicide prevention, and I think we always think of it as a broad term, and I believe it was a few months ago someone actually brought this topic up and really talked about how it is in the farming community like it is in a lot of communities, but of course it isn't talked about, and you're really bringing a light to this situation in such a specific community and making it okay for people to talk about their feelings and how they're feeling inside. I mean, what is it that, you know, is it outreach work that you do for the farming community? How does the group operate within? Now you're mainly in Sauk City, correct? Or Sauk County?
Sauk County, yeah. And adjoining counties.
Okay, yep. Great. So if you're having a problem, come talk to us. We can help you get services. How do you go about doing that with the work that you do?
You know, so we really kind of take a several prong of approach to this. One is educational programs that we provide. Some of those have been directly on financial, some of the things that are cause of farm stress. You know, financial challenges, I think, kind of seems to be a big one. Oftentimes a farm succession or changes in farming, you know, whether somebody is exiting the farm operation. And so providing, working with agencies like UW Extension, with our local public health, our local county land conservation office, and providing programming and education. Another approach that we really have looked at is helping to educate the people who are oftentimes the front line in a case of a mental health crisis. So providing specific education on active listening skills, QPR, so question, persuade, refer, for people who are the EMTs, who are healthcare providers, who are law enforcement, to kind of help build their toolbox when they come upon somebody that's in a mental health crisis. you know, and part of that is educating these folks on, you know, these people are meant to be our helpers, but a lot of times they don't understand the culture of farming.
Yeah.
They don't necessarily understand that a farmer is going to many times put his animals, the care of his animals and his crops, way ahead of his own well-being. Times when, if they do have an appointment to see a mental health provider, it's a good day for making, hey, I really can't come in today. You know, can we reschedule?
Yeah.
So that is one approach for Farmer Angel Network. The second one is, when we started this, while we had good turnouts initially, you know, we didn't necessarily want to promote this as a suicide prevention group. And so some of our activities are really meant to celebrate and bring appreciation to farmers for the hard work they do. We've hosted events like ice cream socials at our local county fair, family movie nights at a local drive-in movie, a farm bash for folks. I've even handed out brownies at the local livestock auction barn. But with all those times, we are having people, you know, meeting farmers where they're at and providing information to them on available resources, on places that they can go to get help. While many of our members are trained in active listening skills, you know, none of us are trained professional therapists. And so we really work to refer people to that next step, to people that can help them in the mental health field.
You know, that's some, you know, you say, I think what I was trying to get across before was that, you know, I think we've all dealt with a friend who's going through hard times, and you want to be able to sit down and talk to them and what you're doing, active listening. But I am not a farmer. I don't come from farm family. So if a person sits down in front of me and says, you know, I have to sell my cows, my child doesn't want to take this over, I don't know how to identify with that. And I think that's so important that you all have this specific skill on connecting with a group of people. And I think it's wonderful work you're doing. I also want to go back to what you were saying as far as, you know, the pressures and the strains on farmers nowadays is, you know, even though they have top of the line equipment, combines that, you know, it's really great stuff to get the work done. Modernization, especially as far as how the world is kind of, I don't want to say we're moving away from farming, but I feel like we do forget how important the farmers are, and that puts them in a place where feeling unappreciated maybe by the community or by the government or by society in general, it can be so overwhelming. Am I wrong in that assumption?
No, you are not wrong. And I think oftentimes, you know, there's long hours, hard work that goes into all of it. And, you know, there's just sometimes for the return that you get, and, you know, especially in income, you kind of have to ask yourself what for. Many people who farm because of the passion they have, Yeah. They have for the animals, for the land, for their family heritage. You know, they may be fourth or fifth generation farmers. Mm-hmm. You know, that's kind of one of the pressures that oftentimes are kind of on a farmer's back, that, you know, I don't want to be the last one to kind of turn off the lights on this family farm.
And I mean, and I know that there are a lot of young people out there who are like, you know what, my dad's a farmer, but I want to go on and do something else. And I can't imagine that, like, you know, the feeling of that. But it's, yeah, like I said, this is, I'm glad you're on the show today. I'm glad we're talking about this. And if anybody, of course, if you are in that community and you want to reach out, your information will be in our show notes today. If you're just tuning in, we are talking to Dorothy Harms, who is the board president and founder of Farmer Angel Network, talking about the work they do in the community to help protect the mental health and the mental health of our farming community up there in Sauk County. We said it was Sauk County. What was the other one again?
So Sauk County, so around us, Juneau, Richland County. Wonderful. Iowa County, Columbia.
Excellent.
County. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And I might just add, Greg, the community model that we've put together in this mm-hmm. grassroots movement is starting to take a hold. We now have a second chapter up in Western Wisconsin, up in Ellsworth.
That's fantastic.
And I've been talking to folks in Waupaca County. So really kind of looking at putting together a community model that other communities can emulate and, kind of put together their own resource support for farmers in their areas.
Do you have farmers who, you know, are part of this program who maybe then say like, oh, I've been helped by this. I've been helped through whether it's therapy, through just going to these events, who say, let me talk to farmers now too. Let me be an active listener and sit down and say like, I know what you're going through. Tell me what's going on. How can I help? How can we help you?
Yeah, I definitely, the people who kind of form our core group of Farmer Angel Network are all people who have lived experience in one way or another. And I think they have a particularly sympathetic or empathetic ear, when folks come to talk to them. So, yeah, we definitely are seeing that within the group. It's while we have farmers involved, we also have a local healthcare professionals that are part of this network. Like I said, UW Extension specialist. We've had folks that are agri-professionals. So and we've got a veterinarian and a dairy nutritionist. So people who are on farm on a regular basis and are kind of the boots on the ground. So we kind of help equip them with some of the skills they need when they're just in conversation with a farmer and maybe notice something, it might be a little off, you know, that day with them when they're visiting.
Yep, that fantastic. We have Cindy from Appleton's on the phone. Cindy, do you have a question for Dorothy?
Well, actually, what I've been seeing, I've kind of been hanging out with the farming community with a bunch of events this summer. I'm seeing people going into more sustainable farming, not necessarily bigger, but more sustainable. And a lot of the dairy people have been going into beef raising and doing more production of vegetables on their lands to sell. And I don't know if she's heard about the Kernza, but the Kernza is an up-and-coming crop. And I know a lot of what the farmers do is very stressful. And these are some ways of them having to deal with less stress to make farming a more, I guess, palatable thing to do these days.
Yes. Thank you so much for calling, Cindy. We really appreciate it. Is that something else that's, you know, it's maybe a farmer who's been working in one crop or one harvest for so long, they say, all right, I'm going to move into a new venture that may be helpful for not only their home life, but also for their mental health.
Yeah, that's why it's been important for us to have some of the connections with our local land conservation department. Mm-hmm. They are leaders here in Wisconsin as far as rotational grazing, establishing cover crops, kind of some new ways to kind of look at small farms to be able to produce additional revenue onto their farm. So, yeah, I really appreciate those comments, Cindy, because I think farmers are kind of taking a step back from bigger is better and looking at ways that they can provide additional revenue on their farm.
Do you have any events coming up in the next few weeks or months that we should know about?
Oh, I do. I got to see if I can find the date here. I know we are going to be a part of an event in November. And I guess I'll have to maybe refer to our Facebook page. That is going to be hosted with the Farmer Veteran Coalition. It is a film screening in Prairie du Sac called Greener Pastures.
Okay.
And I think it really is going to be an opportunity. It's a film kind of really along the lines of what Cindy was talking about.
Okay.
Being able to get folks in the conversation talking about ways that we can reinforce and kind of build up our local farms.
I'm looking at your website right now, and I can actually tell you it's November 13th at 6 p.m. at the River Arts Center in Prairie du Sac. I will put that in the show notes as well to make sure they, if they want to attend, they can. Is there anything else you want to say before we get going? And we're gonna make sure we have your information on our website as well. But is there anything else you want us to know? How can people reach you if they want to get in touch?
So, yes, to get in touch with us, again, as you mentioned, our website, farmerangelnetwork.com. Our email address is farmerangelnetwork@gmail.com. And we are responsive to messaging to Facebook as well. So, really invite folks to kind of check it out. We've got a whole host of resources on the website.
Wonderful.
And I think it can really help folks.
Thank you, Dorothy, so much for being here. Dorothy Harms is the board president and founder of Farmer Angel Network. Please check it out. Check out our show notes. And if you need to reach out to them. And we thank you so much, Dorothy, for being a part of the show today and for the work you're doing for that community. Thank you so much. So much.
My pleasure.
All right, folks, we're going to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to be talking about the Text to Win contest at 11 a.m. But don't go far. And we got Dan Schaefer, 1106. You're listening to Matt and Aaron on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. Stay close.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Matt and Aaron on Air.
Matt and Air on Air.
Dan Schaefer is here from the Recombobulation area and now Civic Media's new political editor.
Jane, I know you like to talk about our assembly speaker.
Popcorn King, yes, Robin Voss.
So there is a potential outcome with these new maps where Greta Neubauer is the assembly speaker and Robin Voss is the minority leader. How does that sound, Jane?
I feel like my birthday came early.
Matt and Air on Air, weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Todd Alba Show.
Troy, our grand prize winner from that just a bit outside the movie Text to Win contest out in beautiful Mount Horeb.
You got to go see this movie. You know, you'll laugh, you'll cry. I know that sounds cliche, but it's true.
It is.
The no narrator was perfect for this movie, and that's what made the movie. seeing the players in their own words telling these stories.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for The Todd Alba Show.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Paperback writer.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matinair on Air. My name is Greg Box, sitting in for Jane Matinair today, who will be returning Monday, and you are listening to the show on the Civic Media Radio Network, as always, and you can be a part of the conversation by calling or texting. That number is 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. You can also leave a comment on the live stream, which we are on right now. We are live on YouTube, as well as our Twitter X account. I feel like when we're professionally talking, I got to call it X. I don't like it, Calvin.
Well, you don't have to. You can do whatever you want. It's a free country.
But, you're right. I did do my own research on that. It is a free country.
But also, this isn't an original joke, and it might have been told on the show before by someone else. But if we have to call it X, the posts could be called excrements.
Ooh, I like that. Okay. I think you made that up yourself, buddy. I
can't claim. I don't want to be a joke stealer.
Well, as a comedian, I truly respect you for that. You can also, you can leave a comment on the live stream. You can text us if you'd like. We are going to read some texts later on the show. We got a lot going on here today. And I just want to let you know, remind you, at 11 o'clock, it's the keyword for the Go for the Greener Gold Text to Win contest. That comes up at 11 o'clock. I will give you the keyword. You're going to go to your free Civic Media app, text the show, text that word to the show, and you'll be automatically entered to win $100 cash or maybe some jewelry. But either way, everyone who enters is going to be for the hourly one, will put into the grand prize, which is two club level tickets to see the Green and Gold in Green Bay take on New Orleans on December the 23rd, which is going to be a fantastic, fantastic Christmas present for somebody, I must say. But yes, that coming up at 11 o'clock. And then also at 11 o'clock, 11:06, we've got Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation area. He will be breaking down the statewide elections and also talking about maybe some other things going on like drop boxes or also Tom Tiffany. We'll see. We'll see where we get with him. But it's great to have him back here. That will be happening at 11:06 in the second hour. Now, Calvin, when I was filling in for Jane a few weeks ago, we talked about the fact that the former First Lady, Melania Trump, is not only a former First Lady, model, mother, that's all I know about her beyond that, but she's also an author.
Allegedly.
Well, you see, you get called conspiracy theory about this stuff. You think it's allegedly, yeah. But
well, okay. So she legally is the author of the book. We'll say it that way.
That's when you cue like the X-Files theme song, because you're getting all... But she came out with a book called Melania. We talked about it on the show a couple weeks ago. If you want a copy for yourself, it's either $40, $75, or $250. And apparently, it's so good, it is already a top seller, according to former president, current convicted felon, and current husband of Melania Trump. He said in a tweet, "Congratulations to our incredible First Lady as her new book, Melania, hit number one in the USA. You can buy her copy at the website. The problem is that the book hasn't been released, I believe. It's also not on any bestseller list whatsoever. Amazon, New York Times, or anything. It's not even listed on there, period. But according to the former president, it's number one. Or did he mean number one in our heart?
Well, certainly number one in his heart, if he has one. But even if it were on the New York Times bestseller list, which you just said it wasn't, that isn't some like huge major accomplishment. I'm reading in this LinkedIn article.
Yeah.
That if you can sell between 5,000 to 15,000 copies a week, you have a realistic shot of being on the New York Times bestseller list. It is selected by the bestseller list editors.
Mm-hmm.
But for former first lady, that doesn't seem like that high of a threshold.
Well, I mean, I'm not gonna shake a stick at being on the New York Times bestseller. Also, I've never written a book, so you're in no danger of that ever happening for me personally. But I also just, this is just for my own thing. This is a part of doing the research. I just want you to Google Donald Trump Jr. book / crates of books. Because a lot of times what happens with these political books, and this is not a partisan thing, they'll have people just buy up loads of books to, quote-unquote, sell them. So even if that was number one, I don't believe it's flying off the shelves for the basic consumer. I think it would be a thing of, find me all the books, buy all the books, number one in our hearts.
I'd like just how the family has such creative hobbies. If you really want to, depending on how you look at it, it could be hysterical or torturous, but look up Lara Trump on Spotify.
No, thank you. I know where that's leading to, and that's just a day ruiner for me. Thank you very much, Kelvin. Oof. Before we take off for the first hour and head on back your way in the 11 o'clock, also, you know, Kelvin, times are tough. People are struggling, but I want you to know that in case you happen to have a spare $100,000 in your pocket. Do you, Calvin?
If I did, it wouldn't be there for long.
There we go. Because you'd be spending it on a Trump Victory Tour Billion watch. A $100,000 gold watch with the name Trump on it. It can be yours for only $100,000. So you know what's on my Christmas list, everybody. By the way, the pictures on the websites aren't what you're going to get, and all sales are final, made in China. All right, we're going to take another break, round out this first hour here. We'll be back at 11:06 with more the Green or Gold Text to Win contest, as well as Dan Schaefer. Go get yourself something to drink. Stay hydrated. Come on back. Stay close. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Locally grown radio, WFHR. Pat Kreitlow.
Monday morning on Up North News Radio, State Senator Kelderoy's on how Republicans just keep digging a bigger hole when it comes to women's reproductive health care rights.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
As a federally licensed broadcast company, this civic media station is required by FCC regulations to accept advertising by all qualified candidates for federal office. We also accept ads from state and local candidates. We do screen announcements from issue groups and PACs and exercise discretion in airing announcements with blatantly false claims or outrageous unfounded statements. These announcements do not necessarily reflect the views of civic media, its hosts, or advertisers, and the source of all issue announcements can be found online at our FCC public file.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Michael Toscano. The remnants of Hurricane Helene wreaked havoc across the southeast since slamming ashore on Florida's Gulf Coast, now blamed for at least 45 deaths. Our Jason Allen is in Steinhatchee, Florida.
Storm-weary residents had prayed Helene would miss them. Linda Wicker lost the restaurant she has owned for 20 years. She seemed more shaken by what she saw all around the small fishing village.
There's a lot of folks that, you know, don't have a place to go, have nothing, no money, now no home, no nothing.
This community has been hit by 3 hurricanes in 13 months, and this one clearly hit the hardest.
Moody's Analytics said it expects up to $26 billion in property damage. Israel hit Beirut's southern suburbs again today as it steps up attacks on Hezbollah. The BBC's Tom Bailey has more.
Images from the Lebanese capital showed plumes of smoke and orange flames lighting up the night sky as a second round of Israeli airstrikes pummeled targets in Beirut's southern suburbs. Earlier, another series of explosions had leveled several other buildings, with one local resident comparing the impact to that of an earthquake. Israel says it hit Hezbollah's headquarters, amid reports it was targeting the group's leader, Hassan Nasrallah.
Campaigning in Michigan, former President Donald Trump once again accused other countries of sending people they don't want across the southern U.S. border.
Let's give you the bad news first. The worst numbers I think I've ever heard. You know exactly what I'm talking about, with a lot of people being released into our country that should